Well, normally it's good afternoon, but today it's good morning, everyone. Today, we're starting the first of the year. Obviously, this is the 10th of January. You've heard about people having New Year's resolutions and thinking I'm going to start and do something, and they never quite get around to it. So today, we're just going to talk a little bit about life and about our plans. Tony Robbins is a life coach and an author, and Tony says that we need to hunger. Now, he's talking about business, but I'm saying we need to hunger for God's truth. We need to be hungry to learn, hungry to grow, hungry for the information that God has for us. We could all agree that God has a plan. Everybody in this room knows from the beginning, there's a plan that God has. We're part of that plan. This whole world, whether they know it or not, is a part of God's plan. Every person that's ever lived is still a part of God's plan, whether we know about this plan or not. God is executing his plan right now. Sometimes we don't think about the plan that God's executing, but that plan has been executed maybe for billions of years. I don't know. But for a long time, longer than we've been around, for sure. Let's turn over to Proverbs 29, verse 18. In the first part of this, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So God wants us to have vision. God wants us to have knowledge. We're back from the feast, and the feast has been quite a while. And I think it's been a month or so ago, we had a sermonette about how confident are you making it into God's kingdom? Each one of us, you think about it, and he said that at Passover, we're probably pretty confident. We've been studying, praying, we fasted. Maybe at the feast, we're pretty confident we've been there for the 8 days. We've been nourished. We've had tons of sermons and sermonettes. We've listened to God's plan be laid out by ministers and people that we know and people that we don't know. We know that God has this plan, and we're sitting there thinking, how confident are we making it into God's kingdom? In just 3 or 4 months, we're going to have Passover. It's coming right up. You think about it. It's already coming. We're already starting to think about Passover, thinking about the holy day starting. This is 2015. Let's turn over to Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So when we're talking about God and God's kingdom, God's plan, we just need to be clear that we can do all things through God and through Christ. The title of this message is Make a Plan to Be in God's Kingdom and Execute That Plan. So the title is, let's make a plan to be in God's kingdom, and then let's execute that plan. Each one of you should be making a plan to be there. I've made my plan, and I'm starting to execute my plan. So what we're going to talk about today is making a plan and executing that plan. Complexity is the enemy of execution. You know, you think about how times things fail and how things don't go quite right, or how come things aren't there. We have too many moving parts. It's too complex. God's plan is pretty simple. You know, do what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it. Follow the rules. Don't, Satan the devil has made things complex. You think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you think about that time in Christ and when Christ came with the disciples. They had too many moving parts. They had it too cumbersome. People couldn't figure out. Only those certain guys knew the plan. But we, because of Jesus Christ, we know the plan. Just think about that and ponder that for a moment. Complexity is the enemy of execution. whether it's here at church or at work. If it's too complex, and your people don't know it, how can they execute it? How can they really make it work? Just keep it simple, everyone. We all have choices each day to do them or not to do them. There are 7 basic areas that we can set goals in. And we're not going to talk about all 7 of these, but I'm going to mention them, and we're going to talk mostly about spiritual goals today. So goal number 1 that we could all set goals in is spiritual. And a year or two ago, I talked about goals one time in the sermonette, so we're going to expand a little more on the spiritual aspect of this. Number 2 is family or children. Number 3 is business. Number 4 is career or finance, whichever you're at. Number 5 is health. We have some people that have health issues, so we probably want to really work on that. Personal, some personal growth. Not this thing that everybody wants to go do all these things, and they have this little list of everything, but just some personal goals and charitable goals. So today we're setting goals. Goal setting is an essential part of God's plan. God has a plan, and we need to be on God's page. God demands growth from us. He's not asking us. We need to grow. Throughout the scriptures, it talks about growth. Let's turn over to Matthew 25, the parables of the talents. And we're going to start, it starts in 14, but we're going to start on verse 18. Matthew 25, verse 18. But he had received one, went and dug it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So he took his talent, didn't do nothing with it, didn't polish it, didn't put it out, didn't put it in the bank, just dug a hole and buried it. And after, verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them, the one that had 10, the one that had 5, and the one that had 1. And mostly we're talking about the guy that had 1. And on verse 20, and so he had received the 5 talents, he came forth and brought 5 more talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5. Behold, I have gained 5, and besides them, 5 more. So he got 5, brought 5 more back. So he had 10 talents now. In verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So he had 5, he brought 5 more, and he's really being commended for doing a great job. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, thou delivered unto me 2 talents, and I have gained 2 more. And let's just skip down to verse 27. Or 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, let's say, I guess 25. And I was afraid, I went and hid thy talents that you give to me in the earth. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not sowed. Thou ought to therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and coming I should have received my own with some interest. So he did nothing. He buried it, didn't use it. He's too scared. He didn't want to step out. He didn't want to have some questions answered. He thought he was just going to do it, kind of hide away, hide in the corner. Nobody would see him. Nobody knew what he was doing, just kind of hang out. For everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him hath not shall be taken away even which he had. So God takes that away from us. So you think about that. God will take that away. Reap what you sow. Let's turn over to Matthew 13, verse 4. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And some fell on the stony place where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up and became, and they had no earth depth. So they just kind of died off. I kind of look at this, you guys, as winter rye, ryegrass. I don't know how many of you guys plant ryegrass, but I planted it. And it's pretty vicious, you know. You plant the seeds and you got these birds eating it and you're covering it up with sod or something or whatever you're doing. You're trying to get it to grow and you got the water and you're trying to get the birds off. And then some of it grows where you don't want it in your flower beds. And then some of it grows right where you want it. And you're thinking like, I just put down, you know, 100 pounds or 50 pounds of seed and I got, you know, 15,000 square feet of beautiful lush grass. And I didn't put down that much grass, that's for sure. So when you think about that, you think about us. God's given us a little. We need to really bring forth the fruits that he's given us. Luke 13 verse 9 says, if we're not growing, we're going to be cut down. Let's turn over to Luke 13 verse 9. And if it bears fruit, well, if not, then after that, you can cut it down. So if we're not doing our job, if we're not growing, that tree doesn't bear fruit. Why have that fruit? That's what he's saying. You have yard, you look at your yard, you have some trees, and they're not doing too good. Try to spring some stuff in. You know, we had some of our trees injected with some fertilizer, some enzymes. We had a guy come and drill some holes in them, and if they don't make it, we're going to cut them down. You can't have a dead tree sitting out there in the middle of your yard, right? Or in the middle of your farm, or the middle of your orchard. And God's the same way. It's not going to last. Let's turn to John 15, verse 2, and that was just what we were talking about, pruning. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he says, he'll take away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So if it's bearing fruit, he's going to prune it so it'll bear more. And if it doesn't bear fruit, he's going to cut it off. It's just pretty simple. We got to bear fruit. We got to take the things that God has given us. We got to expand ourselves. This is a great time in our lives right now to set goals for 2015. The fact is, the Council of Elders met a few weeks ago, and they're sitting down, talking, making plans, changing things up, changing the names of things. And every time change happens, some people get a little distraught, but we are required to meet, like we are here today. The Council of Elders, they're required to meet because of their bylaws, and they absolutely are making plans to better this church, to better what they do with that money, the tithes and offerings that are sent in. So they're meeting and they're doing their job and they're making plans. They're making short-term plans and long-term plans, just like we should be making. So there are just a few things that we need to know about goal setting, and it's called just the SMART approach. Each of your goals need to be specific, measurable, aligned with your values, realistic, and time-bound. There's got to be some kind of a time limit, you know. So, how do we do this year? God's plan is really not like a microwave approach, you know. Sometimes we just want to pray and this all be over, but it's really not that way. It's really a crockpot approach. Slow and just meticulous. It's not a flash in the pan. You've seen people come and go that are flash in the pans. We're people that are the crock pot approach. It's the grind. My line, maybe it's not the right word, is the grind. Let's grind it out. Every time there's a problem, there's no quick fix. There's no easy solution. Never. It's always the grind. You must push through it and grind it out. Every one of us have been in there where you think about where we've been, where we're at, what's happening to us. And you know, you just got to hunker down and grind it out. Don't want to sometimes, but that's just the way it is. We're looking at just a few months to Passover. So we must make a plan. My number one goal is to be in God's kingdom. That's my number one goal in my whole entire life. I want to make it in God's kingdom. And so I have 7 points that I'm working on. Now you guys can have, everyone in this room can have different points, and maybe some of my points wouldn't be on your list. And others might, and you're going to add a few points. But I want to hunger for the truth. So my 7 points are prayer, number one. 2, study. 3, reading. 4, meditating. 5, fasting. 6, church attendance. And 7, repentance. Those are my goals. Those are the things I'm going to be working on my spiritual path this year. I'm going to really work on those. And so, first point is prayer. How is my prayer life now? So if you think about being specific, measurable, aligned, realistically, and time-bound, so I ask myself, this is me asking these questions. You might ask yourself some different questions. This is just my idea of what I'm talking about. What do I pray for? When I'm praying, what am I praying for? I'm asking myself that. Do I pray for knowledge? Am I praying for wisdom when I pray? I think about like the knowledge and the wisdom. I'm thinking about, am I praying about those things? Because that's what we're really supposed to be doing. Do I pray for clarity? Because what really happens is sometimes we just ramble. You've been around people that just ramble when they talk anyway. Or you think sometimes I've caught myself just rambling when I'm praying. Like what would he know I'm talking about? I think if I could be crystal clear in my prayer to God, that I could get my answers clear to me. Because sometimes I think my prayers are answered, and I don't know they're answered because I wasn't very clear, right? So clarity is really the key to prayer, I think. And clarity is the key to almost everything that we do. So when I think about that list of my prayer list, is it specific? Some of it can be specific. Can you measure it? Sure, I could. I might measure it differently than you would. Is it aligned with my values? My values is coming to this church and be a member of God's church. So sure, it's aligned with the values that I have. It's a realistic goal for me to work on my prayer. And I could put time bounds because I'm thinking that I want to have some real growth between now and Passover. I really want to have that growth. So the time bound could be there. So point number 2. Study. How often do I study? These are me asking myself these questions. What do I study? Am I studying the right things that I need to be studying? Obviously, between now and Passover, I'm going to be studying about Christ and his life, the new covenant, and what I need to be doing and how I need to be overcoming. Where do I study? I finally have a real place I can study. And I took it up for my wife. My wife, we moved to a different house, and so she has this place that she works on. And so I finally got my office so that I can use it, and I've been utilizing it as a nice place to study. But where am I studying at to make it so that I can go there by myself without a bunch of extractions and really study God's Word? So there again, I'm asking myself, are these specific things? You can't get too specific about this because each one of us is different. So each one of you should ask yourself, how specific is my study? How measurable can I measure my study? Am I making progress? You know, when they're talking at church, I already know that scripture before he even turns to it. I could read it. I don't even have to look it up. That's kind of nice, right? Because I've been studying. How realistic and aligned? And what's the timeline? So in Proverbs 1, verse 7, let's turn over there. It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So as we learn a little more and we're reading and studying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We have some guys in here that's got MBAs, just finished one in MBA. We've got a variety of other people in this room that has MBAs. And you think about this line, and maybe you could make a comment, Mr. McKeon, but and you don't have to. Information is the foundation of wisdom. Because just getting an MBA just gives you a bunch of information. Some of it very useful. But it doesn't give you the wisdom to use it. Over time, that's where the grind comes in. You're getting information. You're getting knowledge. Those things combined get you wisdom. So point number 3 is reading. How much do I really read? What do I read about? Do I read about uplifting things? Do I read about things that are sad? Do I read stupid, vile things that I shouldn't be reading? Or am I reading the Word of God? Am I reading the Bible? Am I reading some literature or some great articles that someone else has passed out? What kind of things am I reading? Where does that move me to? I need to read and learn. God wants us to learn and to read and to grow. Number four, meditate. How often do I actually meditate? For me, I can tell you, driving. I do a lot of driving, and that's the clearest form of Brent time there is, just driving. My wife and I will read books out loud, which is not necessarily meditating, but it's a great time for us to bond. But when I'm just driving by myself, that meditation line, I can really think. Like last night, it was kind of weird. I had a problem with our house, and I told Abel this morning, I figured out how to fix that. I was just sleeping, thinking about this problem. I'm not sure why I was, but it was just funny how you come up with a fix. But driving is a great way for me to meditate and to think about God's plan, to think about where we're going, where I'm going. Because I can only control myself. I can't control anyone else or anything else, just me. And I really can't control myself very well either, but I try. But we're only in charge of ourselves, right? So it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me, right? And God. We have to work through this. It's God's plan. Wisdom is information sharpened into a useful tool. It's wisdom sharpened into a useful tool. Because even if you have wisdom, if you're not doing nothing, you think about the whole book of Proverbs, and you think about the wisdom, but it's sharpened into a useful tool. Number five, fasting. How often, obviously we're going to ask the same questions, how often do I fast? And do I only fast on atonement? You know? And when I'm fasting, how do I look at fasting? Is it this downtrodden attitude, or is it this attitude of, you know, God's got me in the grind. He's forcing me one day, or making sure that I fast one day a year for me to know that I'm not, that I'm human, that I'm not Job, that I didn't create all this, that I didn't do all this. Fasting is to bring us down to earth, to grind us out so that we know that God's in charge of this plan. God's executing this plan. He wants us to be on the same level that we need to be to get rid of all of this stuff that we've built ourselves up to. It's just that you think you're doing good and you get around other people and you see people out in this world that are so knowledgeable and so uplifting, and when God calls them, there's going to be no problem for some of these people. And then there's other like us or myself that have a real problem just working God's plan. Point number six is church attendance. Obviously, we're all here at church today. But when we're at church, how friendly, how nice are we? We're here to sharpen iron, iron sharpen iron, to talk to others, to help them through their adversities, to be uplifting, to be exciting, to act interested, to be a part of this organization, to be part of everyone in this room, not just this room, but the collective body of Jesus Christ. We're a part of that whole body. So when we attend church, we're bringing ourselves as a part of this body of Christ every time, every week. And that we need to engage everyone here. We have new people coming and going. We have people that's been here forever that we don't know very well. We need to be engaging, and we definitely need to be a part of this, of God's church and God's plan. Just always need to be hungering for the truth and for the iron sharpening iron. Repentance, number seven. How often do I repent? And what do I really repent about? And I really, when I prayed, that I asked God that I could really look at myself in a way that God looks at myself. And can I really honestly look and ask God the questions to forgive me of the sins that I've done, and the thoughts and the actions that I place, or the wrong attitudes that I have with friends or family or church members or people in general. It's an important thing for us to repent. And it's an important thing to us to have that repentant attitude, to have an attitude of God, please forgive me of these things. And be specific. God needs clarity and specifics. If we would just remember one thing with this split sermon, is about being clear, very specific. If you really want to excel, whether it's these goals or other things in your life, if you would just do one thing that's fairly easy, and I just learned this not too long ago, and I've been practicing it. If you would improve, read, study, or anything, business, or anything that we're talking about, 0.1% a day for 1 year. So you would do 0.1%. So you might read one page more. You might make one more sales call. You might pray another 1 minute or whatever that is in your life for 360 days. That's a 36% growth. For you, those of you that were here a long time ago with Mr. Armstrong always talked about growth. He always talked about that exponential growth that we had. And Mr. Armstrong, above, he was a pastor general, the founder of this New Age church, or this new time of church, but he definitely knew a lot about sales and gathering and growing. And he didn't ever say this, I don't believe, because I never read it. But 0.1% a day over 1 year, and maybe it's 270 days, and between now and Passover, it's 100 days, you could have that much growth. So in 100 days, it would be 10% growth. 360 days is 36% growth. That's a cool way to look at how could I really move myself fast and forward and really get myself on fire and help me to really hunger for God's truth, to overcome, to repent, to meditate, and to pray. Remember, all your goals must be specific, measurable, aligned with your values, realistic, and time-bound. Goal setting is a part of God's plan. All the laws that are out there, you know, we talk about Newman's Law. Well, it was really God's law. Newman just kind of put a name to it, right? And gravity was always here. And you think about all of the things that have been invented, electricity, they've appeared. God allowed those people, the light bulb, Thomas Edison, 1,000 times, finally let him do it. But God had electricity. He didn't invent it. Those things were there without God and without this plan. None of that stuff exists. Let's look at John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he will take away. So God's going to take away every branch that doesn't bear fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he will prune, and he will bear more fruit. And when you read Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, you realize that God's given all of us talents. Some people in this room might have 10, 20, or 100 talents. And some have 5 or 10, and some have 2, and some might have 1 talent. But God wants you to grow. God expects us all to grow. So as you think about it, and you think about this list that I put together, this is my list. Everybody should have their own list. It may or may not include some of the things I put in it. But prayer, study, reading, meditating, fasting, attending church, and repentance. And remember, in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people do perish.